Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast from Grace Anglican Church of Grove City, Pennsylvania. Our goal in every sermon is to proclaim the bold truth of the Word of God, especially the undiluted grace of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn more about our church, check out our website at graceanglicanonline.com.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may know that Luke Perry just died, 52 years old, and he had a stroke. He was famous for playing the role of Dylan on Beverly Hills 90210. He was a Hollywood icon. I think he was my generation's James Dean, or my generation's Elvis Presley, the young Elvis Presley before he became portly. Luke Perry was fit, he was good looking, had great clothes, great hair, and most importantly, the women loved him. And growing up, I was told by my parents, but also by my church, not to be like Luke Perry, especially not like his character, Dylan. But as you know, from the New Testament, personal experience, and from this pulpit, the law increases the trespass. And so being like Luke Perry, nay, like Dylan, was my aspirational horizon. I never made it, but I wanted to. Why? Because he embodied the immortal spirit of cool. But what we learned this week, that's what we have to learn time and time again. And it's certainly the lesson of Ash Wednesday, a lesson that I wish to avoid with every fiber of my being. And the lesson is, cool is lost, and cool dies, as does everything else. Paul knew a lot about loss. Sometimes we think of the Apostle Paul as a driven, type A Austrian. He has a great deal of focus, an engineering background, and believes everything has a right order and a right place. We don't think of him as a beleaguered man, and that would be a terrible assumption and a mistake. Paul was harshly and terribly treated, particularly by the churches that he himself planted or had influenced. The Christians in Corinth had deeply harsh and terribly personal things to say about the Apostle Paul. They critiqued the way he looked and how he spoke. They thought that he was unconvincing and unimpressive. And so he writes a letter to them. 2 Corinthians is largely a defense of his public ministry amidst these critiques. And he wants the Corinthians to know what his experience has been like as an apostle of Christ. And he has two contrasting themes that run concurrently in the chapter that we read from this evening. He lists losses and he lists gains, particularly in verses 4 through 10. These are the losses that Paul experienced, and he wants the Corinthians to know about them. Afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, dishonor, slander. We are treated as impostors, as unknown, as dying, as punished, as sorrowful, as poor, as having nothing. Many losses of different sorts. A loss of reputation, dishonor and slander. A loss of personal safety, afflictions, riots, imprisonment. A loss of overall well-being, sleepless nights, hunger, having nothing, and finally a loss of life, as dying. Paul wanted the Corinthians to know that his life in Christ was not an incubator, a warm, soft, safe haven for the hatching of a new life. No, he experienced loss, and in many ways he expected no less. Why? Because he knew. He knew the Hebrew Scriptures. And he knew that we live in the dominion of sin. That's his language from the book of Romans. The dominion of sin. Because he believed that human beings experienced within their earliest days a cataclysm that they themselves caused, that they were malcontents, unable to live as image bearers. They sought instead to have the ultimate dominion and control. And so they ate the forbidden fruit, the fruit of which God said, "The day of which you eat of it, you shall surely die." And thus Paul concludes in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. And so we live in this post-cataclysm world in which sin and death reign. And this is what the ashes tonight signify to us. We are smudged with the harrowing death warrant of Genesis chapter 3, which God says, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." In the dominion of sin, we lose. The game is entirely rigged. We lose our reputation because people have gossiped about us this week. And we lose our safety. You all know what it's like to have trouble with your health insurance provider. Have you ever gotten those inexplicable bills in the mail? And you're wondering, well, how are we going to pay this and at the same time pay the mortgage? We lose our well-being. We suffer from sleepless nights or mental illness. We lose the health of our relationships because you kept thinking that your relationship with your spouse would simply just get better over time, and the issues that you discovered early on that you thought were so minor have grown and not diminished in their power. Or maybe you have a sibling or a parent with whom you would like to have a good meeting of the minds and a good relationship, but you just can't seem to manage it. And in the dominion of sin, we certainly lose life itself through various vehicles, accidents, ALS, cancer, a stroke. And tonight, what do? We acknowledge it publicly with ashes, in which those ancient words from Genesis, those words of cataclysm, are pronounced over each of us. You know, there are churches. There are churches that are replacing the ritual, replacing the ashes with like purple chalk dust that's mixed with glitter. And on your forehead, the minister will draw a little symbol, maybe a cross, and say, "You are stardust, and to stardust you will return." That's stupid. And we're not going to do that here, because that's ridiculous. And it's not true. The reality is harder than that. And we have to go there, into the cataclysm that is Ash Wednesday and all that it signifies. Paul experienced losses, and we will experience some of those same losses. And yet, Paul experienced more than losses. He experienced gains. He experienced what the poet Camus called an invincible summer. He discovered a life of, to quote him, purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, the power of God, the weapons of righteousness, honor, praise. He says, "We are true, we are well known, we live, we are not killed, we are always rejoicing, we are making many rich, and we are possessing everything." On one hand, loss, on the other hand, gain. And what was happening here? Well, Paul discovered that he could really hurt, and he did. And he could really lose, and he did. And yet there was something stronger than all his hurt and all his loss. What was the source of his optimism? He knew an ashen Christ who lost everything, even the air in his lungs and the blood in his body. And this same Christ overcame mortality. And Paul was able to make contact with him and receive via that contact power and sustaining grace for the present. And now Paul invites his readership to share in his optimism by clinging to his source of hope. He invites them all. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. This is an invitation to commit treason. To commit treason against the Siamese twins of sin and death. To switch teams. To defect. To change allegiances. To place our immoral, decaying lives in the hands of a sinless, undying Christ who lives, ever lives, to absolve, to renovate, and to resurrect. C.S. Lewis offers us the same invitation in the novel Till We Have Faces, where Cupid says to the protagonist, "Die before you die. There is no chance after." That is the invitation of Lent, and this is the gain of Ash Wednesday, to defect from the world of cataclysm and to find our sustenance in an enduring source of gracious power. So what does it mean to be smudged with ashes on Ash Wednesday? It means that we acknowledge both loss and gain. Loss. Ashes mean we face into the loss of what and whom we love, for all is destined for the dust. But these ashes also speak of gain. How? Because tonight, I'm going to smudge your forehead in the sign of the cross. This means we entrust our most rotten elements and our mortality to our loved one who bore corruption and death in our stead. And so, it's Ash Wednesday, and Luke Perry is dead. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And what do we learn from his example? That cool is ashes, and sexiness is ashes, and stars etched into Californian cement, ashes. Vocation, ashes. McMansions, ashes. Duplexes are also ashes. Refined taste, ashes. Clean cars, ashes. Diplomas, ashes. Fine china, ashes. A clean bill of health, ashes. A well-kept yard, ashes. Ultimately, fallen life is ashes. And on Ash Wednesday, we are all Luke Perry, born to uncertainty, destined for pain. But today is not about nihilism nor cynicism, because Christ is real and Christ wins. And so we can echo Paul's words with all our losses in tow and say, we may be dying, yet behold, we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Free at last, they took your life. They could not take your